Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. It is so good to have you with me once again for this episode of She Makes All Things New. Amen. I thank you for joining me for this installment of our 2019 series. Amen. We are in the midst of a recap of our LEAP study. So today is LEAP 3 of 4. This is our LEAP recap 3 of 4. And then we started out at the very beginning using our reference book entitled Leap into Love, Living Present to My Purpose on the Planet. It was written by Havilah Cunningham. It is a Bible study. We use it as a reference because so much more has been coming out and coming through this study than is printed in the book, which is always true. Anytime we open up, amen, scripture, anytime we are in the presence of God, we receive so much more than we expect. In the very beginning, we may have gone before the Lord for one thing, amen, and we come forth with something else, something very different, something maybe we hadn't even imagined or even knew was there. But I praise God because He knows exactly what our need is at any given moment in time. Glory to God, He is in eternity while we're yet in time, and He sees us from the very beginning to the very end, and He has provided for us in every age of our life, in every stage of our being, in every trouble and every tribulation that we go through. The Lord has already made provision, and that's what a shepherd does. And truly, He is the great shepherd. A shepherd goes before the sheep, amen, to make sure that everything is set and everything is provided, so that when the sheep get to the area of need, those things are already there for the sheep. So before I even know that I have a need, the Lord has already provided. And the same is true for you. And I give glory to God, amen, because these studies are for those very things. Because we go through things that are troubling. We go through things that have caused setbacks in our lives. Amen. But they are all diabolical distractions sent forth from the enemy to get us off track. Because the Lord called us with a purpose into the earth, a purpose to change the area of influence that we are in. We all come here with greatness and all with influence. And that is driven by the power and the presence of God Almighty. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He leads us and He guides us into all truth. Scripture says the Holy Ghost will lead us, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Amen. And that's what He does. He lets us know that we are loved, that we are enough, that we are valued, that we are worthy, we are worthwhile, that every human life has stuff. Substance. Every human life has value. Every single life, even those that are not yet born, have value to God. Hallelujah. And He lets us know that. Amen. So many of us have been through so many things in our lives that have really thrown us off course and really made us feel as if we're just nothing. But God, amen, continues to reiterate to us that He, glory to God, He loved us so much, glory to God, that He came down through 40 and two generations, sacrificed His own life, amen. He formed Himself a body, sacrificed His life, became sin, amen. The one who had no sin at all, not He became sin, but allowed sin to be thrust upon Him, the sins that we committed, the sins of every human life was thrust upon Him so that we would be saved, so that we wouldn't have to reap the consequences of sin and death, so that we could be renewed and revived and regenerated once again and be back in our intended place. And our intended place was to always have a right relationship, amen, with our Father. Always have a right relationship with the God of the universe, our Creator. That was our intended place. Well, Jesus came to set the record straight. Amen. He came as the second Adam. Although the first Adam, he did fail. He was human and he faltered. He failed. He listened, amen, to the enemy when the enemy spoke. Amen. His wife listened to the enemy when the enemy spoke. And he took from his wife, amen, those things that the enemy offered. Glory to God. And because of that, all of us, amen, we're in a state of damnation. We're all born into a state of sin. But glory to God, Jesus came that we might have life, and that more abundantly, and that we might be recovered from the ways of sins and from the reward of sin, amen, which is truly punishment for us all. But Jesus, glory to God, he came to fix those things. And yes, even after we, amen, receive salvation, things happen, amen, to cause us to stumble, to cause us to be distracted, because that same enemy that troubled Eve is trying to trouble us as well. Scripture lets us know that he is here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is his only objective, to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's out in the world right now trying to, pretending that right is wrong and wrong is right. Although he knows what is true, he will not let you know that he knows that. Instead, he will twist, amen, the truth and turn it in such a way that it seems as if it's a lie. That he'll twist, amen, things up into so many pieces and twist it up and so that it's so distorted that you won't be able to recognize the truth of God, and it will look as if those things that are false are true instead. That's why we need the power and the presence of God in our lives, so we won't be fooled, so those things cannot be twisted in our minds, so that we hear a clear revelation from God. Amen. I'm praying even now for myself and for you that the Spirit of the Lord will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened to the knowledge of him. Glory to God. Amen. I praise God for this study as we're going forward. Let's pray. Amen. I got a little excited. We haven't even prayed yet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, thanking and praising you, Lord, for life, health, and for strength. We thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence that is moving every obstacle and destroying every yoke of the enemy. We thank you, Lord God, that you're dispelling myths and removing distortions, Lord God, from our understanding. We thank you, Lord God, that you're feeding us the truth and giving us revelations directly from your throne. We thank you, Lord God, that you're healing our bodies, healing our minds, healing the landscape of our thoughts, Lord God. Even right now, we praise you, Lord God, that you're moving mightily and working miracles on our behalf. We thank you, Lord God, that in you we have life, and that more abundantly, not just for the then and there, but also for the here and the now. We thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for healing right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for restoration from every type of abuse that we have endured in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for clearing out the baggage and clearing out the things that are not useful to us even right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for healing us of all those things and bringing us to a place where we can hear your voice and understand your word. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us greater revelation day by day. Every day, Lord God, we come before you for greater revelation. Every day we come before you, Lord God, that you might draw us closer to you. And we thank you, Lord God, because you are faithful and you want us to be in your presence. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much and that your love has no conditions, no borders, no boundaries, and no limits. We give you glory today. Bless us, Lord God, as we go forward in this recap. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. I just want to start this recap by using a quote, amen, that was actually quoted by Christine Kane on Twitter is where I saw it. There is a purpose between promise and fulfillment. There is a purpose between promise and fulfillment. You know, the Lord knows exactly what each and every one of us are going to go through at any given moment. He knows the times when we suffer. He knows the times when people have harmed us. He knows the abuses that we have gone through. But there is a purpose between promise and fulfillment. He knows the word that has been given to us because he has sent prophets and preachers and maybe neighbors and friends, maybe grandparents or parents or whoever may have come to give you a word, to tell you who you are. And sometimes we find it hard to believe because we have suffered
so many things that people have told us that we're so ugly, that they told us we're too fat, that they told us we're too thin, that they told us we're not anointed, that they told us that we just won't be, we won't amount to anything. You'll never be nothing. We all of us have heard some kind of discouraging word of that effect. Something's even worse than that. Amen. Far worse. Many have endured far worse things. Amen. But I'm here to encourage you today and let you know that not one of those things have escaped the eye of God. Amen. And he has a purpose between that promise of who he said that you would be and the fulfillment. Amen. Just hold on and hold out. I promise you he's coming. Continue to call on his name and he will hear you. I like the words that Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Amen. In the book of Jeremiah, I give glory to God. There is a purpose between promise and fulfillment. Last week I gave you a scripture that said, search me, O God, and know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Glory to God. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path to everlasting life. Psalms 139:14. Amen. While we're waiting for God to fix those things, we're asking the Lord to point out those things. Lord, you know I'm going through all this stuff, and it doesn't look like it's going to end. It hurts me on every hand. People are doing these things. I can't seem to get out of the way of the assaults. But, Lord, I come before you because in you I have comfort and I have peace. Even in the midst of the distress, you uplift me. Amen. Scripture lets us know that he is the lifter of our head. There's a song that says, thou, Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. Amen. That comes from the Psalms. Glory to God, because he is a lifter of our heads. He's our glory. Hallelujah. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You are my glory and the lifter up of my head. Amen. That comes from the Psalms. I give glory to God for that. Amen. As we're going forward today, amen, we're talking about what's in a name, because we're going to do the second part of Jacob and Esau. We did the first part on last week. Amen. As we recap the second installment of our LEAP study today, we're in our third installment of our LEAP study, and we're talking about what's in a name. In this age, names don't have the same significance to people that they once did. Children are often named based on their favorite characters or names that sound cool at the time. Not much thought goes into what is being spoken over the child. They don't understand the impact a name can have over the whole life. As we see children being named after fruits, animals, cheeses, and far more unique names, we are also watching a generation who is not being taught to honor God or his precepts. Thus, this knowledge is foreign to them. In biblical times, names were very significant and prophetic most of the time. At other times, names were given to honor God or to mark an event. And we read as the person becomes precisely what their name describes without the intervention of God himself. Abram means high father. Abraham, father of a multitude. Sarai means princess. Sarah means queen, or a more exalted meaning for princess. Jacob means to follow, to be behind, to plant, circumvent, holder of the heel. And Israel means God contended, wrestles with God, triumphant with God, God prevails. Scripture gives many examples where the Lord changed someone's name and thereby changed their trajectory. It is amazing to see how what we are called can affect who we are, either negatively or positively. In keeping with this study, this is also true. The names we have been called or called ourselves have affected our lives, although much of our experience has been lies and distractions
of the enemy. The same Lord is changing everything for us, maneuvering and repositioning, changing our trajectory. Amen. We'll now read from Jacob and Esau, Genesis chapter 32. As Jacob started on his way again, angels of God came to meet him. When Jacob saw them, he exclaimed, "This is God's camp." So he named the place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers ahead to his brother Esau, who was living in the region of Seir and in the land of Edom. He told them, "Give this message to my master Esau. Humble greetings from your servant Jacob. Until now, I have been living with Uncle Laban, and now I own cattle, donkeys, flocks of sheep, and goats, and many servants, both men and women. I have sent these messengers to inform my lord of my coming, hoping that you will be friendly to me." After delivering the message, the messengers returned to Jacob and reported, "We met your brother Esau, and he is already on his way to meet you with an army of 400 men. Jacob was terrified at that news. He divided his household along with the flocks and herds and camels into two groups. He thought, if Esau meets one group and attacks it, perhaps the other group can escape. Then Esau prayed, "O God of my grandfather Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to my own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I own nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. Oh, Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I am afraid that he is coming to attack me, along with my wives and children. But you promised me I will surely treat you kindly and will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore, too many to count." Jacob stayed where he was for the night. Then he selected these gifts from his possessions to present to his brother Esau: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He divided these animals into herds and assigned each to different servants. Then he told his servants, "Go ahead of me with the animals, but keep some distance between the herds." He gave these instructions to the men leading the first group: "When my brother Esau meets you, he will ask, 'Whose servants are you? Where are you going? Who owns these animals?' You must reply, 'They belong to your servant Jacob, but they are a gift for his master Esau. Look, he is coming right behind us.'" Jacob gave the same instructions to the second and third herdsmen and to all who followed behind the herds. "You must say the same thing to Esau when you meet him, and be sure to say, 'Look, your servant Jacob is right behind us.'" Jacob thought, "I will try to appease him by sending gifts ahead of me. When I see him in person, perhaps he will be friendly to me." So the gifts were sent on ahead while Jacob himself spent the night in the camp. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip. Jacob spent the rest of his days between his great deception and impersonating his brother that faithful day when he met him again. He was running from what he had done and from who he was. His name said it all: trickster, heel grabber, supplanter, deceiver. Finally, he had to face himself through a series of events. He learned firsthand the pain of deception. He learned that he could not run from God and from his true destiny. He was so afraid of his brother that he separated his family and goods so that somebody, hopefully, would survive what he perceived would be his brother's wrath. Esau did say he was going to kill him, and his mama sent him running. But Jacob was in the process of becoming more than he imagined. He had heard the word from his father Isaac about how God would make them a great nation, but Jacob had only been a trickster, self-motivated, inconsiderate of others, out for himself, and nobody or nothing else really mattered. But Jacob was in the process of becoming. There is a purpose in the process, and God was in the process with Jacob, keeping his promise to Abraham to make him a great nation. And the day was here now. Jacob was about to meet his brother again, the brother who he had tricked out of the blessing of a lifetime. And Jacob found an alone place, and there found himself wrestling. But this time, he didn't run, and he wouldn't let go until something changed. He needed something to change. He had a great family. He had great wealth, but something was just not right. It was just not enough. God blessed him while he was in his uncle's home. Blessed indeed, but he was still Jacob. So he wrestled, and in the process, he was injured, but still he would not let go. Then it happened. The change he needed, the peace he never had, had come. God changed his name, and it changed everything. No longer was he the trickster or deceiver. He was Israel, one who contends with God, or one who struggles with God, or God prevails. He held tight and would not let go, even when the angel of the Lord touched his thigh and caused it to become out of joint. His life changed forever, like Jacob, just like Jacob. You are in the process of becoming. It's time to wrestle and never let go. This is life-changing. The past few weeks, we have been looking at some very difficult things in our lives that have affected us, things about ourselves that we would like to change. We are learning to accept the love of God just as we are right now, and we see that we are in the process of becoming the women or the men he destined us to be from the very beginning. But we are still wrestling with some stuff we can't seem to get a handle on. So was Jacob. And when he was at his wit's end, he wrestled and would not let go. God is waiting for us to totally empty out to him. Hold tight and not let go. The benefits are unimaginable. And your life, well, as scripture says, eyes have not seen nor ears heard the things that the Lord has in store for those who are his. It's time to wrestle. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord has you. Amen. Don't let go of him. Stay with him in prayer, no matter how hard it's been, no matter how hard it seems, no matter what it looks like. He will come. just like Jeremiah said, call unto me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Continue to call on him. He will answer. He will answer. He is faithful. He is not a man that he should lie. And every word that is written, every promise that he has for each and every one of us is yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. God will do exactly what he said that he will do. Those things that he promised you, he will fulfill those promises. Amen. We are in time, amen, waiting for the convergence of time and eternity. Just wait, because the Lord will do precisely what it says. Amen. But scripture also lets us know, amen, that those things will come if we don't faint. So don't faint while you're in the process. You are in the process of becoming, and there is a purpose, amen, in the midst of this process for you. There is a purpose, glory to God, between promise, between what God has told you you will be and the fulfillment. Hold on to the Lord. He is a faithful God. He loves you more than anything, amen, and anyone. He loves us all without conditions, without borders, without boundaries, and without limits. And he will carry you to the place, amen, of destiny. Hold on to him. Amen. God is moving even right now in ways you do not see. Amen. And perhaps you've been able to see a few things. Amen. And God has given you peace. Amen. As you wait. Amen. And that is my prayer. Even right now in the name of Jesus, Jehovah Shalom, give them peace. Right now, Lord God, in the midst of their waiting, peace. Lord God, is a breakthrough. Lord God, is being manifested in their lives and in the atmosphere. Father, in the name of Jesus, remove every hindrance from the way. Every demonic presence, Lord God, that would try to delay their breakthrough. Father, in Jesus' name, move mightily, Lord God, in each and every life right now. Lord, give your strength, Lord God, to your people even right now. Strengthen and refresh this morning, Lord God. Refresh this afternoon. Refresh this evening right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. Because you are the true and the living God. You are the Savior of our souls. You are, amen, the lifter of our heads. You, oh God, hallelujah, are our salvation and our help in the time of trouble. You are our peace and our provider. You are our all in all. And we give you glory, Lord God, for your majesty. We give you glory for your sovereignty. We give you glory, oh God, and we thank you for that you're doing. Oh, God, and for that you have already done. We give you glory, Lord God, because even when we were in trouble, Lord, you brought us through. You didn't allow the enemy to kill us. Amen. So I praise God, Lord, for each and every life, Lord God. I give you glory. We're rejoicing in your spirit that you kept us, Lord God, and that you're moving in the midst of us, Lord God, and that those promises are being fulfilled, Lord God. We praise you, Jesus, for your presence today. We give you glory, Lord God, and we wait, oh Lord God, for your might to come forth in a mighty, mighty way in our lives, Lord God. We're holding on to your promises, Lord God, that they are true, that they are just, and that they are real, and that they are ours. Amen. Your word lets us know that every promise is yes and amen. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.